Okay, I have to say a huge thanks to you and that this podcast exists because of you. And the Mental Fitness Blueprint is the most personal thing I've ever created, so it felt right to offer it here first to all of you. The first 50 founding members will shape what this becomes. So if you want to be part of the first 50, details are in the show notes or at mchampagne.com. Who are you?
It's a million-dollar question. Who are we? Like, I think for me is like more, who am I becoming? Because
I love that.
You know, they say the saying is change is the only constant, right? So yeah, like once a year, my wife and I sit and then we always think, okay, 12 months, what do you want to have learned to become? What do you have changed less of, more of? And I think a lot of people, you know, they focus on the money or on their weight or on their muscles or the training. But I think the mental part define a lot of the rest of the things. So I think who you're becoming is a very important part. And we always divide it in four parts, which is the relation part between us, the relationship with our friends and family. Now we've added also because we are more vocal online. We also have discussion like how do we want to express ourselves online, like in a more broad way. So the relationship part is very important. The second is the health part, like what do we want to achieve in 12 months from a health point? Is there something we want to work on? And then the third is financial part. What do we invest our finances in? And then the fourth is, what are we going to give this year? In what? In which charities, which projects that are not money-making? And I think by focusing on these four things, you definitely become, you grow as a person and you change as a person.
Yeah. So what's the, let's just stay on that for a little bit because that's, I love it. And I love that you do it with your wife. I mean, a lot of people do these, you know, whether they're year end or the start of year, you can pick whatever time frame. I think a lot of people do them individually. And I love the fact that you do it with your wife, especially knowing that you're working together and so forth. And obviously you have a family. I mean, it's really important, right? What's it look like practically speaking? Do you guys have a ritual of some sort set up? Like, do you go away? Do you do that over the course of a few days?
Yes.
Or like, what does it look like?
This year we couldn't get away because we have a 6 months old baby that required a lot of attention. Yeah. So we didn't, but usually we combine it with a gut reset where we chill and then just clean and take out all the noise of food. And also 40% of your energy goes to digestion, right? So when you take that part away, you feel euphoric, you feel more energized, and you have less brain fog. It's just, you're more focused. So usually we do it at the same time. This year, no, it was not. And regarding my wife, well, I think your partner is maybe the most important decisions, choosing your partner for your health, but also for your finances and for your mental health, right? So I think that's a very, very important decision. A lot of people in biohacking or medical congresses, they ask me, so what is the number one biohack I can do? And I always tell them, well, deciding who you marry is the number one.
Amazing. I thought, Noah, before we get into some of the topics, there's so many angles we can go down because you've had such an interesting and diverse background of working in many different industries, different countries, different people, and so forth. But I feel like there's one story, and this, I heard this story from an interview you did, I think it was probably back in 2018, where you shared a story around this moment in Thailand that really, I think, you know, shifted or set a mindset perspective for you. And I'll be honest, when you were sharing the story, I was projecting forward where that story was going to go, and it wasn't where it landed. So I'd love for you to share that story.
Yeah, you know, when we were in Thailand, my sister and my mother, you mean that story? Yes. Yeah. So
yeah,
Every year we go to Thailand, nowadays multiple times a year, and we do, as I told you, a chill, a gut reset, just switching off. And that year I rented near Krabi, near the south of Thailand, in small islands. It's a lot of people can do that. And it's amazing. It's white sand beach. You walk in the blue sea and you walk like for 300 meters and the water still is on your knees, right? It's like magical. You see all the fishes and all the colors. And that year I was laying in a hangmat and hammock and reading a book. And suddenly I got a phone call from my lawyer. He said, look, I don't care where you are. You take now the plane and come back to Amsterdam. So with lead in my feet, I went to my sister and mother and told them, look, I have good news, bad news. Good news is the bad news is I have to leave. The good news is everything's paid for. You stay here and in 5-6 days, I'm back. So my...
Because this was a new business you had started,
my
right?
Was my first building that I bought.
Okay.
At the Kerkstraat 63. I never forget that. It's in the center of Amsterdam. And it got squatted. Now, for the people that don't know what means squatting, in Netherlands, back then, it was legal if a building is empty to enter there, call the cops and tell them, look, I've squatted the building. Now I am the rightful tenant. And you don't pay rent. So it came from the 60s, from the social time where many thousands of houses were empty and people needed houses. So the government legalized that. So long story short, my sister said, no, I'm going to stay here. My mother said, no, we all go back. We came all together here. So my sister didn't like it. But plane to Bangkok, Bangkok to Amsterdam. I landed in Bangkok. And in that night, in 2004, on 24 December, the tsunami killed 230,000 people. So because of that problem, we got saved, right? So my sister, like, she was flabbergasted. We were all very emotional. Everyone in the plane obviously was very emotional. And we arrived and my mother cooked food for the squatters. We went there. They were very confused when we gave them flowers and food. Yeah. And we told them we are the owners, as I'm the owner of this building. They thought it was a trick. We showed them the air ticket, the plane ticket. We showed them, I mean, they knew, obviously it was everywhere in the news. So yeah, it was a very friendly handover actually. And what I've learned there is the number one longevity hack in life, the most unquantified one, is becoming a master of meaning. Becoming a master of meaning to external factors. Because the only people that don't have problems, that don't have slaps in their life, are dead people. Everyone else have. And me now, with my wife and a medical team, treating like thousands of patients. And yes, we give them stem cells and peptide and hormone restoration and gene therapy, and you name it, the newest technology, the best technology. But whenever we see very wealthy person with mental fog, that is emotional on what's happening on the external side, it's a very difficult recovery path. So I believe that everyone, their duty for themselves, but mostly for their family, for their friends, for everyone around you, becoming a master of meaning is a must. Why? Because as an entrepreneur, it's a myth that you don't bring your work at home. You know, that's not accurate. You always bring your home. You had a bad day at work, you're going to bring it at home because you live with it. As an entrepreneur, you wake up with it, you sleep with it, you eat with it, you drink with it. So it's everywhere. It's all the time with you. So yeah, it's going to affect you. So you becoming a master of meaning, you will just navigate life in general and teach that to your children. And it's a whole dynasty that you're actually opening up, because your way of reacting will, if you like it or not, will trigger your kids, will trigger your wife, and that will influence their kids and their kids. So whatever you're doing today, you're not doing it for yourself. You're not doing it for your children. You're doing it for a whole dynasty, right? A whole generation.
I like that. I like that a lot. I'm glad you brought that up, because one of the things that I noticed just in doing the research, and as well as when we had our initial call, of course, you know, and we'll put all the links in the show notes, but people, if they look you up, they'll see a lot of folks, especially your Instagram, you know, there's beautiful education and insight and practices and solutions around health and longevity, right? Which is, you know, something you're heavily invested in, I think, probably financially and mentally. But also during just the research, I noticed that you have a very diverse background of I'll maybe call them interests, and which maybe led into businesses and so forth, which strikes me when it comes to, you know, meaning as well as mindset and so forth, for people to kind of spot patterns, which is what I kind of see. You're like a master pattern recognize. And Tony mm-hmm. Robbins talks a lot about this, right? Like you could start mastering pattern recognition. That's more than half of the game kind of thing. I'm wondering, like, where did that come up for you? Like, where did you learn how to do that?
That's actually a very good question. I learned that from Tony. I was in the refugee camp in Rotterdam, and there was one book that was translated to French, and it was Personal Power from Tony.
Okay.
And back then I could read only French. So I took that book and started reading it. And that gave me just another perspective, like how to look at things, look at problems, look at challenges, look at yourself. Brian Tracy also, his books also gave me that pattern recognition. And then just having mentors that tell, I saw that every time I have a mentor, it speed up so many things. So I became an expert in finding and convincing mentors to mentor me. So I think...
Do you remember the first mentor you intentionally went
The first
went
mentor
after?
That I'm very, very grateful for that she did it for free for many, many years is my mother. You know, she mentored me since I remember I was 5 years old, and she put me in her lap and she started giving me books about sexual education. And I knew I was not supposed to know these things. She's a microbiologist, so she took the angle of biology, and that gave me this feeling of I belong into that. I am. She was present with me, right? So a mentor is someone that made a lot of mistakes and that is making you avoid them, right? So,
yeah,
I think your parents are your first mentors, and as a parent, I think it's your obligation to mentor your children. Yeah, that's obviously Tony was my mentor for many, many decades, and I volunteered in his organization and I've benefited a lot. Brian Tracy, I hired him as my mentor. We wrote a book together around investment after him mentoring me. Mm. And Robert Allen was my mentor, but many people also that were not famous. Charlie Munger is one of my favorite mentors. Mental models, he taught me the power of having mental models. Instead of giving me fish, he taught me how to fish. He never met me. He doesn't know he was my mentor, but he was definitely my mentor.
But that is the beauty of today's world too, right? I mean, not even today's world. There's even in the past. I mean, that's why the power of books, and even, you know, here we are recording, you know, podcasts, and we're, you know, ocean separates us and a lot of land as well, and we're making this happen. But there still is like nothing that replaces kind of that physical book. Like it stood the test of time. And I think it's of course the knowledge in there, but also just the fact that like what you had, I mean, imagine you didn't have that book from Tony Robbins when you were in the refugee campaign, who knows where your mind would have went. Right.
Yeah.
What was that next step for you then?
Look, Orkan Ibadov is the world memory champion. And he's our patient, and I'm his mentor, and he's also my mentor when it's about brain health. And he said something that is very true. Like, knowledge is not anymore power. Someone in India, in the suburb of any village, has access to the same knowledge as you and me, as the same free knowledge.
Yeah.
So it's not anymore knowledge. It's more access to networks and accountability and execution. And so access to resources other than network, and it's actually more killing any distraction and knowing which button to press next. Because if you go now on podcast and on YouTube, you can get lost just by reading. And I see that in many congresses, the same people going there, listening to us, and they're not in execution form because it's just too much information. So I think information is not any more power. It's knowing which information to choose first before going to the next one.
Yes. There's a question I wanted to ask you about that. So I'm glad you brought it up. And for me, I mean, I'm a bit biased because this year I always like to pick a one word kind of intention to set the energy for the year. And this year for me, it's the word is precision. And it's for the reasons that you're mentioning. I feel like there's a lot of opportunity. There's a lot of things that you can kind of chase and explore, and you know, a lot of that stuff probably lead to great things, and of course others will fizzle out, but you only have so much energy and time. So I'm just trying to stay, and I you know, I have a bracelet here that's red on purpose. Whenever I look at it, it's a reminder, like, are you being intentional, and are you focused on, you know, those top three projects or initiatives and those relationships? And already it's been incredibly helpful. And what I wanted to ask you about around that topic, when we first met, you had shared this concept that I wrote this down. It's 2 hours, one question, twice a week. And it was this thinking time principle that I find so fascinating, because now this is well over 500 interviews now on this show. And I would say this concept of just thinking and using this beautiful brain of ours to take time to think comes up over and over again, but it's still this, it's almost like this hidden superpower. Because most people think, like, the successful people in the world, that they're back-to-back meetings or they're doing this and they have all this staff and so forth, but which, you know, sometimes is true, but I would say what they're doing is exactly what you're suggesting. You're prioritizing time to actually let the mind sit, right? Like, let the pond kind of settle so you can see the bottom versus this, like, murky water kind of thing.
I learned, it's not my own, by the way. I stole it from Keith Cunningham.
Sure. Well, we steal all this stuff from everyone. He probably stole
and
it from someone.
He taught me that if you want to make big decisions, you have to implement thinking time. Most people, he called them, are tactical rats, which is they think that action will give them there. And yes, no action will definitely not get you there. But action that has a plan and that you thought about it intentionally with the minimum amount of knowledge you have will definitely get you there faster with less errors. You're going to make errors anyway. So that's why whenever I have a big decision to make, and several ones, you want to put them in that thinking time and then take one and just think about it for 2 hours. Yeah, that saved me a lot of mistakes. I still made a lot of them.
Sure. So what is that? Is that journaling or is that a long walk or
So what I do,
else?
My daughter has to sleep a couple of times a day. So what I do after breakfast or after lunch, I take her, she falls asleep, and I just walk for an hour. And I take one question and I think about that question 1 hour. It can be something very simple, like, okay, it's the birthday of my wife, how can I surprise her next week? How can I get the maximum out of my team without telling them? How can I, I'm going to focus this year to educate them? There is this business deal and there is another business deal. Does this align with actually where we're going? And it looks amazing on paper, but is it actually amazing? So there's so many things you can think of every day by having that. Now I do it on a day-to-day basis because there's too many decisions and I'm less in the work. But back then it was twice per week.
Okay. Have you noticed since you've been doing this for quite some time, for you, I know this is probably personalized for you, but I'm just curious, have you noticed a certain kind of timing to the practice? Like, is it, you know, that, you know, walk for 20 minutes as an example to let things settle and so forth, but you know over time that kind of there's a sweet spot there. And I'm just asking this because I noticed this in the sauna, that after 20 minutes, usually my mind settles enough and then something flips in my brain where I get into this massive gratitude state, and like, it feels like nothing can stop me in terms of whatever the intentions are and so forth. And it's like this almost a euphoria for the next 10 or 15 minutes. And so I know now, like, minimum do the 20 minutes and you'll be rewarded in that sense.
Yeah. It's a very good point. Don't take your phone when you do the thinking parts. So I always leave the phone at home and then I walk with her and I know what I'm going to think about. And it takes 20 minutes. It takes sometimes 1 hour before I think, oh, wait a minute.
Sure.
So, it takes longer. Like, before getting in the flow, it takes longer. And I do have a framework to think about this, but definitely it takes longer than most people think. And unfortunately, nowadays, it's much more difficult to focus than 20 years ago.
Yeah, of course. But if you do this, you commit to this, I still think this is the superpower of our world moving forward. because there, I mean, there's no shortage of tools and knowledge, technology and so forth that, right? But it's, I still think that it's those connections that us as humans can surface and then execute all of that with the latest and greatest tech, of course, and setups. Let's not underestimate the human part of what we've got.
I mean, it's a real thing. The real pandemic is not COVID or fertility. It's attention, distraction. That's the real pandemic.
Okay, we're going to jump into that in a minute. Why don't we just, so people have some context, was there a question or a series of questions that piqued your curiosity to jump into the longevity space, not just from a personal perspective, but of course, you know, you've got multiple clinics and you're helping a lot of people. I mean, that's different than, of course, you're personally interested for, probably obvious reasons, but to invest, you know, a lot of your time and energy in having a significant impact for many people.
Yeah, I mean, there are always, there's a framework where it needs to help a lot of people. The world needs to need it, because I'm in longevity since more than 25 years. Back then, it wasn't called longevity. It wasn't even called biohacking. So it was not needed. It was not marketed. So that's number one. Number two is you need to make money in it so that you can make it sustainable. And number three, you need to like it. Like it's, I don't know who said that, but the one that will outperform everyone is the one that will love that the most, love that job the most, right? So, and I was doing this for 25 years just as a hobby, like going to medical conferences just because I like it. Well, that was not my job. So, and I think now I'm just in the right place, the right time, and it's a hype. And I like to jump into things that will go up. Like when it was AI, when it was the cannabis and the CBD sector, real estate. There's always a hype that starts and then it goes up and then exits at the peak. This is a personal love relationship, so I don't think I'm gonna exit it, but I love helping people. And I've been doing it for like 2 decades for free. Now my wife and I get paid for it. So it's definitely a hobby part. Yeah.
Sure. So what does that look like? Like, so you're, again, because I'm just really fascinated around the diversity of your background and the businesses. So I know you're still, or I'm making an assumption, you're still involved in some of those sectors as well. Maybe just not as maybe it's a little bit more passively. But when it comes to, from what I can see, you're giving a lot of time and energy, of course, to the health space. So I imagine at one point you had to make the decision, all right, I'm going to put some of these things over here and maybe slow down my time allocation or energy allocation and really go for it in the longevity space. I'm interested in that pivot point there. Like what, for you, what allows you to say yes and go and do that? Like what makes it clear and, you know, maybe gives you the courage or the confidence to just to
go so for it? 1.5 years ago, actually, but not that long ago, from a commercial point of view, but 1.5 years ago on 28th of August, I decided, okay, I'm going to do 12 months, only one thing. And if it's only one thing, if it's not real estate, if it's not any other businesses, if it's not traveling, what is that thing? And I chose to do this. And the first 5 months, Nick, nothing happened. Actually, up to of May, nothing happened. Like I was working every day on it and researching and posting and talking and going to congresses and not much happened. And then from 9th of May, that's when things started to go much faster. Right?
Well, what happened?
I went like step by step more viral every day. Online, I got a request to speak at events and I started the telehealth clinic instead of only USA, also UAE and Europe. So I got attracted better doctors. I attracted people that were more aligned, let's say, with my philosophy, because I was posting every day about my thoughts, about what I believe in, what I think health should be. I think something before, I was thinking, okay, I'm going to do this for only for 3 months. I said, whatever happened, I'm going to do it until 28th of August next year, if I have success or no success. So, and it took a long, much longer than I thought. And there was some moment that I thought, wow.
Yes, that was critical.
So that, I think, is something that most people undervalue, the power of 12 months focus on one thing, not two things, not three things. And the danger is after you get success. When most people, when they get a mini success, they start to diversify. One of my very good friends, Chris Reynolds, who have interviewed the most billionaires in the world, I asked him, I said, what did you learn from interviewing all these billionaires? He said, they are not smart people. That's what I've learned. I said, what do you mean? I said, like, I thought if you're a billionaire, you're super smart, you're like on a different vibration. The difference that I discovered is that between a multimillionaire and a billionaire is that the billionaire, once he become millionaire or multimillionaire, he doubled down instead of diversifying. He doubled down on that tiny business that he has for another 10 years. So that's the difference. So yeah. I thought, you know, when I heard that, I said, let me try this game, the game of focus. So that's how it started.
Oh, it's incredible.
So for you then, the thing that you were focusing on, was it primarily showing up and sharing online? As you, I think you said this last time we spoke, you know, that that's our new version of real estate, right?
Yes.
Digital real estate. And say what you want about social media. I mean, like anything, there's positives and negatives, but I think there's also an element that, like, don't stick your head in the sand and not pretend that this is where the attention is. So, you know, do it in a way that I think that you feel proud about. And hey, this is why we're speaking. I mean, one of your videos really caught my attention. And I'm like, I've got to reach out to Noah. I mean, this really landed.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, thank you for saying that.
To be honest with you, it's because I come from a Calvinistic background. And I don't know if you know anything about me. So
what does that mean?
Calvin was a priest and he kind of structured the Netherlands. And I grew up in Amsterdam in Netherlands. So we are Dutch people. We are people who don't want to show what you have, who you are. We are always like, stay normal. That's already crazy. So by doing anti my upbringing, that was going out of my comfort zone. And I always like to rediscover my comfort zone from being a Wim Hof trainer and going and live with him for a couple of weeks in minus 30 degrees Celsius to running the marathon when I was 15. I always wanted to go out of my comfort zone and I was always searching for that. So I thought, okay, what is the next? Okay, I'm not online. So let me go and go full power on that. Let me write a book. Let me write protocols. So I did all these things in that 12 months, fully focused on one topic, right? So having that did definitely give me in contact with people that I could learn from. And it only, if I extrapolated, it only made my growth much faster.
Hmm. So where are we at today? I mean, we've obviously been hinting at some of the work that you're doing, but I'd love to just get your take on what it is that you do.
So my wife and I, we thought, okay, what is the 2080 of longevity? What is the 2080 of health? And then we thought, no, that's still too much. 20% is too much for someone. Most high achievers, they're not lazy to not work on their health. They are just maxed out on their time. They're maxed out on their obligation.
Yeah.
They're maxed out on their attention. So instead of 20%, we thought, what is the 20% of the 20%, which is only 4%, but which will give you the 80 of the 80, which is 64%. So imagine, you work only 4%, but you get 64% outcome. That's not bad, right? So, and we found out that there are not many things. There are just a couple of things that you, because you can do so many, you can do stem cells and you can do hormones and you can do peptides and you can do gut, you can do resets, you can do EBU and unispheresis and all these modalities, a hyperbaric chamber and ice bath and breath work and you name it, you can do it. Like for most people, it's just not doable to do 2-3 hours a day, all these things. You can do meditation and your morning routine and whatnot. But what if someone has only 20 minutes? Everyone has 20 minutes. What if you have 20, 30 minutes a day? And that's what we went into it. And it's mostly metabolic problems, right? Your insulin sensitivity. Mm. And that's why when you get older, you suddenly change. You think, what the heck? Who's that guy in, or woman in the mirror? So body-wise, energy-wise, sexuality performance-wise, like all these things, they start changing when you're 35, 40. It used to be 50s, but now it's becoming younger and younger. So my wife and I worked on creating a protocol for all our patients. And now we are democratizing that by giving it to the world. I think it's, yeah.
So Noah, is it just, it's just on following how you started that conversation. Is it focusing, like putting 100% focus on the extra 4%? Is that what you're saying? And then you get...
Not on the extra 4%, on the on the first 4%.
Yes. The first 4%.
No. So what is the 4% that you can do? Yeah.
And the right 4%
that will move the needle. That most people don't want to be 100% healthy. They say, look, if I'm 50% better, I'm a happy chap. Right? So what is that? Yeah. How can we get the 50% by using the Pareto principle? So we went and we studied the data. We studied the people that never get sick, the people that are always sick, the people with genetic diseases that are giving it to their children. And we put all this data with my background of AI and with her background and my background into naturopathy and her medical background. And we created this protocol that is now really helping a lot of people. And people are coming for so many diseases and just need to change a couple of things, not a lot of things. That's what we are now doing. And we are implementing it in physical clinics. So we signed up for in 11 locations to start the clinic. So we started in Dubai, in Abu Dhabi, in Saudi Arabia. Now we are in Greece to open one here. And we're going to go also to Southeast Asia. So yeah, that's our focus for the next 12 months.
And what are some of the starting points? Just
to move the needle, you mean?
Over here. Yeah, yeah.
Inflammation is a big thing. And your grandfather had not even 10% of the inflammation that you and I have. And the reason is because now we are being bombarded from everywhere, from water, from the microplastic in the water, from the anticonceptive pill that our women are urinating back into our water and you're showering in it. Your kids are showering in it. From the, it's crazy.
Wow.
Endotoxins, from the blue light, from 3G, Wi-Fi, from the pesticides and herbicides. You name it, it is there, right? So that's why 21st century problems need 21st century solutions. But not many people have the time to do everyday chelation therapy and taking the toxins from your soft tissue and bones and doing all these protocols. Just too much for most people. Usually the people that do everything are usually very, very, very sick people where there is no point of return. They cannot do any more 10, 20% better. But for you and me, 4% is you can do a couple of things. Now, what are these things? Definitely eliminating of toxins, a protocol that's simple. To do that, that will help already a lot. Chlorella, like having, for example, a type of binder. Chlorella is a binder. And having that a couple of days per week. Optimizing volume.
What is that? Is that a
it's a supplement? It's a green powder. It's an algae. It's a very specific type of algae that binds to toxins in your body and take it out. Optimizing your gut.
I've had this actually before.
It's disgusting.
And this makes sense. It's disgusting, but here's where you know it works. I remember, and my co-author Kelly is the one that tipped me off on this, and she's like, just FYI, like at one point she was on it for maybe 5 days or something, these little tablets, and she's like, I started to smell like BO essentially. So then I forgot about that, and I remember I was traveling back from someplace, and you know, it's not like I was running to the gate or something. I'm like, I think I stink. And it was totally though, but it was a detoxification.
Exactly. It's your body getting rid of
those
getting
tablets
through the skin. Your skin is the biggest detox organ. So getting, I will not advise the tablets, by the way, but that's another discussion.
Okay.
Yeah. I advise the powder, but definitely having that on a day to day basis will definitely help you. And after a while, it takes usually 6 months before you are fully detoxed. And that's a simple process.
Yeah.
Everyone can do that.
Then you don't
stink. Yeah, after that, you'll stink less. But like heavy metals, toxins, definitely the elimination of it because it's entering in your body if you like it or not. It's like inflation. If you like it or not, it exists. So better deal with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But where do you start, Noah? Like I feel, because it feels like it's everywhere. I mean, I know in our household, we're doing we're more intentional, mm-hmm. of course. Like, I'm sure we're still being exposed to this, but do you, like, just to get people started, do you have you noticed a system or a perspective that's helpful?
Depends how serious you are about this. The simplest, and I love the KISS principle, to keep it stupidly simple, which is
okay.
That's why I mentioned chlorella. Just one glass of chlorella per day, and that's it. And forget about it. And just do it consistently every day. If you want to go deeper into that, I mean, my advice is to hire a mentor. Hire a mentor for, like, you have to think like this. You have a wealth manager. You have a mentor for your finances. You have a mentor for your education. You have a mentor for your teeth management, but you don't have a mentor for your health, an architect that will help you. Look, this first 3 months of the year, we're going to do X, Y, Z. Then we're going to do 1, 2, 3. And you need that. Nowadays, because of the world, look, your grandfather didn't have this problem. My grandfather, ignorance was truly a blessing. Now ignorance is the sentence where you come to the doctor, you say, doctor, I don't understand. I am it rained 4 times a week. How can I get cancer? I eat quite healthy. How can I become pre-diabetic? That's the ignorance.
Yeah.
That's the price nowadays of ignorance. So you definitely don't want to be ignorant in that part. Right. So, this inflation, by the way, happens everywhere. Like 200 years ago, if you could read and write, big chance you become a millionaire. Now, good luck getting a cleaning job. Right. So there is inflation in everything, mm-hmm. in knowledge, in health, in money, way more than 200 years ago. So, you want to be mindful and proactive into it and not let, oh, I'll do this later.
Yeah. Well, and and this is actually the post that led to us speaking that really hit home for me. And I think it proves this point because before I share, because I want to read a few of the lines that you shared in that one. But I mean, if you take outside of health and you just look at, you know, business or really anything, I mean, if you're studying the greats or people that are doing well, they're usually part of a group. To your point, they have mentors. It's like how we started this conversation. You're reading the books, you're learning, you're not doing it on your own, right? And health, which, I mean, I'm sure we're both biased in the right way. I mean, mm-hmm. it's everything. Until you don't have your health, then all of a sudden, you know, it becomes the number one priority kind of thing. And that's what your post was all about. I loved it because you were, I'll paraphrase a bit, but you said something to the effect of, if I can give you 10 more years, what's mm-hmm. that worth to you? And, you know, people automatically, okay, well, what's that going to cost me? How do I need to invest and so forth? And then you flipped it. And this is so true. You said but you're actually already mm-hmm. paying for this, right? You're already paying for your health when it comes to sleeping mm-hmm. 4 hours, you know, a night and just like grinding and crushing through. Like there's a, like, don't kid yourself. There's a cost to that, right?
Yes.
You're paying when you eat food, your cells can't even process, or you're putting yourself in chronic, you know, inflammatory states. So again, like, let's not kid ourselves. We are 100%. Paying for it. And it's just a matter of where you want to put that payment.
To choose your struggle. You're going to struggle not being able to play with your kids, not being able to take care of your parents, not having the energy to make love to your wife, to your partner. That's also a struggle. Waking up at 5 a.m. before the kids go training is also a struggle. Saying no to what you think is delicious is also a struggle. So you're going to struggle anyway. Just choose your struggle. And every price has a price.
Yeah. Yeah. That's well said. Really well said. Last thing I want to really chat with you about, or just ask you how this all links to maybe the whole story that you've shared. You've lived and worked and traveled all around the world. What does that do for you? And can you give us a bit of the why behind that?
I mean, it makes you very open to cultures. It makes you less also that you have an opinion on something. The more I travel, the more I think, wow, like I have more of wows. Like traveling, it need to be part of any educational system, to be honest with you. It need to be obliged in high schools. So traveling, that's what it taught me. It taught me also that a passport is something very, you need to become an expert in having a second or third passport. Obviously, me coming where I come from and having that experience made me realize, Germany is a great country. Well, not if you lived in 45, you know, or 44. You know, Vietnam was an amazing country. Cambodia was amazing. Zimbabwe was an amazing country. Russia was amazing. Like so many amazing countries where people never thought that's going to happen to them. Buenos Aires in Argentina is an amazing country, one of the richest in the world. Venezuela, same thing. In 1960 was the richest country in the world. Look at where we are now. So you want to become an expert in it's called the five P's, which is it's a whole philosophy of very wealthy people, which you want to be taxed somewhere, you want to live somewhere else, you want to make your money somewhere else, you want to have different passports, at least two passports. So it's that's what it taught me. And it taught me, actually, it's very simple. The world is huge.
Yeah.
You can go and live here and work there. And now you can live in a country that is cheaper and that has better air, but make money in a place where they pay you better. So you can.
Yeah,
That's what it taught me a lot about that.
Well, as you're saying this too, just what comes to mind with your backstory and your mindset around all of this is that it's like you're constantly balancing your monomaniacal focus, right? Which is, you know, the focus for the 12 months to really give this space a good shot to see, you know, if you can pick up traction and so forth. But then also at the same time, like it seems like you've done this in other industries. So it's like you have these chapters, but then these various chapters are in books all around the world, to your point, where you have currencies and real estate and so forth that, to your point, like, yeah, if one country, you know, there's a huge problem, you know, it doesn't completely debilitate you because you have. So it's like it's the balance of diversification with focus.
Yes, yes. Yes.
Powerful.
Yeah, I mean, look, there is not one, my way is not the way, right? It's just what I learned because of the pain, and pain is a great motivator. So it motivated me to be very versatile. So will the other person that is a billionaire or multimillionaire that has made all his money from the village agree with that? Maybe not. You know, so I don't say it's the way, but I do think it gives you a type of flexibility, especially now in 2025 and 2026, and in that you can go anywhere and make money online and buy real estate almost anywhere in the world, right? And through Airbnb, I have friends that have Airbnb in countries they never went and visited that country, and everything is managed and it's going super. So we live in an amazing time. If you're focused, you can magnify the power of this century, and you will feel that you have more knowledge, more power than the richest man 50 years ago on earth. If not, you're doomed.
Powerful. Last question for you, Noah. You mentioned you and your wife reflected on the year 2080 and what health could look like. What's your final message to us? And like, what does that look like for you? When you project yourself forward to 2080, you know, what's making you smile?
Very simple, my daughter. So I discovered that actually I adore kids. So my focus is definitely fertility, because we definitely want to have more kids, if God allows it, and also education. So my wife is more and more studying how geniuses are, under the guidance of Orkan Ibarov, the world memory champion, who studied more than 500 geniuses, how they became a genius, were they born as a genius? And the more we study that, the more we discover that every child is born as a genius. And the parent and the educational system is killing the genius out of the child. And
yes.
So we are focusing, she is focusing more on that. I am more on the medical side, but it gives us so much pleasure to understand how the brain of a child, like, are there any things you can do to not kill the genius of that child being unlocked? Because sometimes you just need to do nothing and just leave it and it magnifies itself.
Yeah.
The upside will do itself. So that's what being very excited for us.
I mean, as someone who's a fan of just great quality questions, that is a beautiful question to be working on, and
yes,
purpose, right? To put that kind of work into the world. Yeah. No, this has been a lot of fun. I hope the conversation went well for you, probably a little bit different than a lot of your other interviews. I know you go pretty deep, and I'd encourage people, if you're interested in peptides and longevity and kind of everything around there, there's a ton of conversations with Noah, you know, providing that expertise as well. We wanted to do a little bit different here and go behind the human when it comes to how you think and the questions you ask. So hopefully we covered that. But just a huge thanks, Noah, for you doing you and your wife.
You.
Just, you know, like just putting so much energy in this world and in such an important topic.
Thanks, Mark.
So thank you.